This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Yankees with a thrashing of the Blue Jays again last night. They are now well into second place in that American League East. And, Chris, you know, the Yankees were awful.
Feels so good when you say that, Dave.
Well, I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, they beat up on the Blue Jays. They're in second place. You can see the four spot overall. I mean, the Yankees, and this is what you want to do. You want to be playing good baseball down the stretch, getting healthier down the stretch. It feels like it's falling into place for this team right now.
No, it does, Dave. What a difference a week makes. And can I tell you how much I love watching Yankees games where there isn't any suspense, no drama, and we're just drubbing the other team? I mean, in the last two games, the Yankees scored the same amount that the Jets and Giants combined scored in their games this past weekend. It's crazy to think that. But, I mean, this team is on fire, man. I mean, seven home runs last night, six the night before. We got Higgy with it. The home run stroker with three bombs yesterday. I mean, listen, the team looked good. Gerrit Cole was dealing last night. I went back and watched it again this morning, and for the life of me, I can't understand why he decided to throw a changeup as a first pitch to VR in that sixth inning, because I was like everybody else rooting for the no-hitter, but I wouldn't dare say it. But, yeah, everything looked good last night. The only negative to last night was Aaron Judge didn't get a hit, but guess what? He didn't get hurt. So I'll take that as a win. Stanton back in the lineup today. So, I mean, listen, it seems like it's all coming together at the right time.
You've gotten good starting pitching consistently. And now, I mean, with DJ LeMahieu, I mean, I can't say enough about this guy.
He's unbelievable.
Again, do it again last night. I mean, Voit's been great. And now you're starting to get healthy. You're starting to get whole. And, I mean, that really, for me, was the only concern as we got, you know, down the stretch. Would you be healthy in enough time to make sure everyone was playing, you know, their best baseball headed into the postseason?
You know, it feels like we're there, doesn't it? I mean, it feels like they are playing. Yeah. I mean, Glaber's got to get healthy because clearly he's not. Sounds like Paxton is now done for the season.
He's done. We said that yesterday. Yeah, he's done.
Yeah. So he's done for the season. So you're going to have to figure out who your third starter is going to be. And you want your bullpen to be good. You want to get healthier. But and they're making the right move with Frazier also. Like he is.
He's
terrific.
Been great.
He's
got
to
be.
He deserves to play.
He's
earned the right
to
continue to play. He has. I mean, that's the only way you can look at it, right? His defense has gotten a lot better. And, I mean, as far as what he brings to you at the plate, I mean, the guy's really good, man. The guy can hit.
He has good at-bats, too. He's having good at-bats, too. And, I mean, that solves the issue. I mean,
doesn't he have an OPS over 1,000?
Then that answers the question of who's playing left field now.
Yep.
So he'll play left. You'll have Hicks in center. And
the question has to be who's going to be your catcher.
I think it's clear.
I think Sanchez and Higashioka will both catch games in the postseason. I mean, Higashioka seems like he's the personal catcher for Gerrit Cole. So, I mean, whatever it takes to have Gerrit Cole at his best, that's probably what you need to do once you get into the second season.
Yeah, when the lineup is healthy, I mean, look at how deep this lineup is. I mean, you can have – if Gerrit Cole – I mean, what Higashioka did last – I mean, he's not going to – that's –
Of
I mean,
course
that's a rare.
That's the outlier, yes.
Yeah, he's not great offensively, but, I mean, that's fine. Like, Chris – I mean, to Chris's point, if Gerrit Cole is at his best and your lineup is healthy, you can afford to have – a catcher in there for his defense as opposed to his offense.
Yes.
You shouldn't need the offense.
You have, what, 11 games left, right?
The Yankees are 28 and 21, yes.
Right. So I think they have 11 games left. They first of all, they need to finish second in this division, which it looks like there's a good chance that they're going to. Because the last thing you want to do is fall behind Toronto, wind up in the seventh spot, and play Tampa on the road for a best of three. So I don't know that, you know, 4 or 5 matters all that much, although you'd probably like to be home, but you want to avoid Tampa or the White Sox.
You're 20-7 at home, but you're 20-7 at home. I mean, they clearly like being at home.
Of course they like being at home. You'd like to be at home.
No, and they don't have much. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. They haven't had a lot of success in Tampa.
No, you can't go to Tampa. That's you cannot go to Tampa for the best of three. Because they match you every step of the way. And I think Tampa, you could argue, is a better team than the Yankees right now.
Yeah, listen, Tampa with that pitching staff and a 3-game set, I'm all set. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to beat them at some point, but give me neutral sight in a 5 or 7-game series.
But if you wind up with the 4 or 5 and Tampa's the 2, now you don't face them to the American League Championship Series. That's what you want. You don't want to face them in the first round or the second round. You want to avoid them at all costs.
I would just say avoid them in a 3-game series. You're going to have to beat them at some point, I would imagine.
Sure, but I don't want to have to beat them and then the White Sox. Like give me the easiest road, and in my mind, the easiest road is start at home against Minnesota, which means you have to catch them. You're a game behind them in the loss column. Catch them, get the four, have them at home for the best of three. We know what you do to Minnesota. And then you'd move on to take on the White Sox. And then if you win that, you'd move on to take on potentially the Rays.
Now, Minnesota's a good team. I'm not saying
they're not good. I'm not saying
Yankees have had success. But no, you're right. I mean, the three-game series, you would rather be at home against Minnesota. Even on the road against Minnesota is better than having to go on the road and play Tampa.
No, you don't want Tampa. The two best teams right now that I would want to avoid if I was the Yankees are Tampa and the Dodgers. Now, I'm not saying you can't avoid them, but if you gave me my choice, those are the two teams I don't want any part of right now.
Hey, you're talking about, the Dodgers are probably the best team in baseball, right?
I don't even think probably.
Okay.
I mean, look at what they've done. Right now, does Kershaw in the postseason, all those question marks certainly remain. Dave Roberts in the big spot. But right now, clearly the best team in baseball.
Yeah, clearly now. But I still stand by what we saw early in the season with the Yankees when they were 16-6. When this team, and you're seeing it, now you're starting to get a glimpse of what this team, you're getting reminded of what this team,
yes,
the potential this team is.
They were great, they were awful, and they're back to being great again.
Yeah, but I mean, again, the reason we reacted the way we reacted to the 5-15 is because of what you saw last year, which is an anomaly. The Yankees should not have won 103 games last year with the amount of injuries that they dealt with. It shouldn't have happened.
Right, but then you had the same thing. You had Judge, you had Stanton, you had Torres, you name them, you had them hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you reacted. When you look, I mean, really, when you sat back and looked at what they were throwing out there, you were like, come on. I mean, they were what they were. Should it have been 5-15? Probably not. But you weren't getting great starting pitching. The bullpen was struggling. You know, guys that you were counting on that were going to actually be in your lineup weren't hitting well. So, right. I mean, there was a ton of different things that go
into it. The reason I think they freaked out, too, is it got tenuous. Like, you were a game or two away from being on the outside looking in of a season where if you didn't make the playoffs, it would be a tremendous failure. So, right, you had 20 games left, and you were a game out of being out of the playoff format. So Yankees fans, understandably so, got very nervous.
Yeah, but that was Yankees fans. That wasn't, I mean, me and you, we're Mets fans.
We weren't panicked. To me, it's
listening
to the Yankee fan freak out about, oh, my God, what's going to happen? It's laughable. But that's the way they react. Canty reacted when they were 9-9 a couple years ago that he was on the verge of breaking glass.
He was full
really
panic.
Really, Dave, you got to keep bringing that up? I don't understand why you got to keep visiting in the past, man. Let it go. It's over.
Everything was better in the past. We can go back. Yeah,
the present is the disaster.
Is the problem.
Yeah. This is some kind of year.
Not for my Yankees, though. Right now, the present is looking pretty good. I'll tell you.
Yeah, how could you not feel good? I mean, the two questions are, who's going to be your catcher, and they're probably split time, and who's going to be your third starter, and who's going to be your fourth starter? Yeah. If you move on to a series where you need that many starters.
Can I ask Rico a question? Rico, let me ask you this. Is it too early to start talking about Luke Voit as AL MVP?
I think he's in the conversation.
Abreu's going to win it, though.
Yeah, I think Abreu's probably in. I mean, then also Nelson Cruz. I mean, Voit's carried them. He's been great. And I give him tons of credit because you can clearly tell, I mean, even trotting around the bases, that his foot is not right. Like, he's gutting this thing out. And why wouldn't you? I mean, when you're swinging the bat the way he's swinging the bat?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to miss a game.
None.
Well, he's on pace for what? Like 57 home runs?
Yeah, well, he's got 19 home runs.
So maybe more.
See how many games he's played. This season, he has played 45 games. He's got 168 at-bats. He's got 19 home runs.
So he's on pace for 60 home runs.
45 RBIs.
He's on base for 60 and 130.
That's another one of those unbelievable Cashman moves, man.
Oh, got it for nothing.
And how good? I don't care. Listen, the nerds that do the defensive metrics and everything else, miss me with that. Gio Urshela defensively at third base is ridiculous.
Do you know that he's not considered an elite defensive third baseman, though?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying.
Isn't it?
Makes no sense to me. The dude, I mean, if I see him make one more play going to his backhand, almost halfway into the dugout and throwing someone out at first base. It's like every single game he makes a play like that. Just nonchalant, no big deal.
He's great.
Short left field, I'll track it down. I mean, it's... And I got Todd. Did I need to have Todd Frazier in the lineup? Honestly. Is he necessary to have in the lineup? Dave?
No, I don't know what you want me to say.
Why is
you
Jeff McNeil batting seventh? May I ask that? You're going up against the righty.
I don't know, but I mean, aren't we past this already? We know that this is a defeated season. We know.
No, because they kept me alive. That J.D. Davis kept me alive. Kept the hope alive last night.
Come on, they're 500. Look at their remaining schedule. You really think the Mets are going to compete for a playoff spot now? That's a
Listen, I'm not saying really. I'm not going to be realistic with this thing. But had they lost that game with the Grom going out with the hamstring spasm or whatever else it was, that was it. They lose that game. That was it.
So but that was the nail in the coffin. If they lost,
you know what
that
you're
game.
Like. You're like visiting the 104-year-old person in the hospital, and the doctor comes out and says, "I think this is it." And then he comes out and he goes, no, you know what? It's not. He could have another day or two. It's going to end poorly and soon for the Mets.
No, I would equate my fandom of the Mets. I'm like Will Ferrell in Austin Powers. I'm not dead. I'm just severely hurt. I think it's just broken. And they try to shoot him. And, oh, I'm still alive. I'm like the Black Knight. It's only a flesh wound.
Well,
I got no leg.
You're
that would have been dead. For me... Listen, you know how much I love the Mets. If they lost last night, that was, and again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they're going to make the playoffs, but that was, I mean, as far as people paying attention to the Mets, if they lost last night.
You know how I can't watch? Honestly, I cannot watch this guy. It pains me at this point. Pains me. Any guess?
I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's multiple.
Well, take a
crack at it. Is he a position player or is he a pitcher?
He's a position player.
Wilson Ramos.
Ramos. Yes. Yeah.
I can't stand him. I almost want to fight him. I can't stand watching him play.
He was so good last year, too.
The hate is real, Dave.
It drives me. Because every play at the plate, you know that it's not going to work. Like, he's either going to be on the wrong side of the plate, or he's going to miss the ball or something.
I mean, doesn't even think about throwing a runner out at second.
Anybody out. He never gets down the baseline. Like, when he comes in with a runner on, it's like it's going to be a hit or it's going to be a double play. Like, nothing, I don't know. He frustrates me to absolutely no end. He drives me crazy.
Yeah, he's had a bad season. He struggled.
Terrible season.
Yeah, I mean, last year, with runners in scoring position last year, he was great.
He was good last year.
Yeah, this year, not so much. But that's what frustrates you, man. I mean, when you start thinking about, I mean, the seasons that you got last year from Alonso, McNeil, DeGrom, Ramos had a good season. And you were that bad? I mean, there's something going on, man. That's a huge problem. You should have enough talent to win.
They're a poorly constructed team. And tell me you didn't have, because he went out last night and the first thought was, DeGrom's hurt, we don't exactly know what it is. And my thought was, oh my God. I said to my kids, even if he's out for the rest of this year, fine. Don't let this be some kind of a huge injury that's going to take into next year. Now, fortunately, it's nothing, and it sounds like he could even make his next start on Monday, potentially. But my first thought, wasn't it yours, Rick, was, oh, God, this is going to be really bad?
No, my first thought wasn't it's going to be really bad. I mean, my first thought was, if this was, I mean, the way he looked over to the dugout, it felt like something that he might have been dealing with headed into the start. My first thought was, why would you even let him start that game then?
Yeah. And they knew about it, too. You find
like you're
out
not gonna
afterwards.
Make, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're not going to make the, again, the chances of them making the playoffs, it's a long shot, right?
They probably have to go 8-3 at a minimum to get in.
But his chances of winning the Cy Young now might have gone right out the window.
Yeah, that's the
that
thing.
Second
yeah.
inning ruined his Cy Young chances last night. Yeah. You're right.
So why not do him a solid? Like, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm dealing with this hamstring. Then fine. Okay, no. I don't need to see you go tear your hamstring. Like, you can be, let's give it a day or two.
Right.
So you go out there and struggle the way that you struggle.
If you're feeling better on Friday, you make the start then. If you're not, we'll push you back to past the weekend. And if you can't start the rest of the year, you can't start the rest of the year. But you're right. The Mets, for me, have basically come down to, you know, watching them play, not reacting crazily when they lose, which is more often than not, and hoping that this guy wins the Cy Young again this year. And that's probably out the window with that second inning last night.
Yeah. No, it's out. It's probably, unless
Bauer gets hammered and Darvish gets hammered and
exactly
he
right.
finishes on, like, you know, 14 innings of scoreless baseball down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly right. But no, that was my first thought, was why even let him go out there?
Yeah.
Like, what are we trying to prove here? And my other thought was, why the hell, I mean, why is Pete Alonso? I get he's struggling, but he's one of the, I mean, he's a guy just keeping the lineup. I don't need
you
to
let
see.
Him figure it out.
Yeah, they play this game all the time.
Yeah, but the Yankees, I mean... The Yankees keep rolling Gary Sanchez out there every single day. Every day. And tell us how great he's going to be. And yet the Mets, the guy who had 53 bombs, had the most... I mean, dude, when you talk about magical season, like, if if you were to write how you would like your rookie season to go, I don't think you could have scripted it better.
No, he was great.
Then you're going to take him out of the lineup, and I got to see Todd Frazier in the lineup. Come on, man. I don't need to see Todd Frazier in my lineup. I don't.
No, it's
and why is Jeff McNeil batting seventh?
Uh-oh.
Why? He's batting 331. He's your best hitter. I got him batting seventh against a righty.
And I got to watch Wheeler go out there and deal every fifth day now.
Quality start after quality start.
He didn't think about keeping him.
And then I got to watch this team run the bases?
Oh, that's
what are we doing? I mean,
namaste.
Stevie Cohen's got to blow. This thing has to be from top to bottom. It has to be.
You know what would be great?
I love how you try to convince yourself you're not going to get worked up, Rick, and then you proceed to get worked up.
I'm in a good mental.
I don't feel like I'm asking much, though. I don't feel like I'm asking much.
But it's the same thing. I mean, whose fault is it? They do the same thing over and over, and you continue to get upset. That's your fault.
Yeah, but you're a professional baseball player. You should know how to run the bases.
They do this all the time, Rick.
Should know how to play baseball. I mean, just the fundamentals of baseball. Completely, just rip it up. Tear them up. Throw them out the window. We're not interested. Jeff McNeil is batting 331, Dave, and he's batting seventh. For what? Tell me why he's batting behind Todd Frazier. Why?
I don't know. I don't know why Frazier's in the lineup.
Thank you. Why?
I don't know why they reacquired Todd Frazier. It's Brody's guy.
Can't take it.
All right, today on ESPN Daily, 50 years ago, USC played Alabama and paved the way for racially mixed teams in Southern college football. Players who were there share the game's real legacy. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. We've waited and waited, and it was a very rushed CMT on Tuesday. But here we are on Thursday, week two of the NFL season, ready to roll with a little CMT.
All right, here we go, fellas.
Here we go.
Dave, I'll have you start us off because you drive the show.
Okay.
And you're handsome. I can't say handsome, too, but I just felt like I want to make you feel good before we get into this. So I want to go back to week one. We did a quick CMT on Tuesday. I want to know from you guys, what was the most important week one win? Was it the Patriots, the Bears, or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Okay. Patriots, Bears, or Steelers? All right. For me, it's the Bears would be the marry.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because this is a team that it feels like they're teetering. And it feels like they have almost no confidence in the quarterback. So to get that win was tremendous for Chicago. That's my marry. My cuddle is Pittsburgh, and I'll tell you why.
Bombs and
we haven't seen the quarterback in a long time. There were a lot of concerns. What would he be? Didn't play well early on. Got better as the game went on. I think it's very important to kind of reestablish what he's capable of doing. So I will cuddle into Pittsburgh, and I'm going to trash New England. I know they're going to be fine. I have no doubt. There's very little I have more confidence in this year in the NFL than that New England will be fine, and no surprise, they were.
All right. I guess one trash is another man's treasure. In this instance, the one that Dave married, the Bears, I'm going to trash them.
Bombs.
I just am. I saw the performance by Trubisky in the fourth quarter, and even though it was a great game for him, I think long-term he's still not the answer for the Bears at the quarterback position, so I'm going to trash that because I don't think the Bears are going anywhere fast. I am going to marry the Steelers win over the Giants for all of the reasons that Dave spelled out. It's been a long time since Ben Roethlisberger has played quarterback for them, and he had a good performance, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. I think that's a good start for him, and they can try to build off of that. I'm going to cuddle up to the Pats win, and here's why. We had 20 years of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Breaking in a new quarterback, I thought it was important that marriage got off to a great start, and so I think that was a good win over a division opponent at home. Cuddle.
All right, here we go. Canty, you're up. Most surprising win of week one. Were you most surprised that Arizona won, that Jacksonville won, or that the Washington football team won?
I was most surprised at Jacksonville. I just thought Jacksonville had punted on the season, and they were trying to get the number one overall pick. All of the moves they made this offseason looked like they're planning for the future, not 2020. So for them to beat a team that a lot of people thought could win the AFC South, that was a brow raiser. So I'll marry that one.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to cuddle the Washington football team's win over the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles, again, we thought the NFC East was a two-team race between them and the Dallas Cowboys. And the fact that they had a 17-point lead on the road and they blew that to Washington, that was a surprise. So I'll cuddle that one. And then I'll trash the Arizona one. It, not to say that it wasn't a surprise, but of those three that you gave us, that was probably the one that we all felt like there could be a chance. I know I took that one as my best bet. I didn't think they would win the game outright, but I thought they would keep it, you know, closer than 3 points, and turns out they ended up winning the game.
Look at this garbage!
All right, I don't differ at all. I'm going to agree across the board. Jacksonville, we've sat here and discussed how awful they are and that they're going to be a one-win team or a two-win team, and they're in it for Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to, you know, wind up with him as their new quarterback. Well, Gardner Minshew and company have a different view. They move on from Leonard Fournette. They win a game against Indianapolis. I'll marry Jacksonville. I will cuddle Washington, and I will trash Arizona. Again, not that Arizona was bad. I thought they were terrific. It's a great win, but we expect them to be a pretty good football team, so it wasn't all that surprising.
All right, here we go. David, most impressive NFL debut. Chase Young, who had a sack and a half, and they were dominant. I mean, that defensive line had 8 sacks. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 25 for 138 in a touchdown, or Joe Burrow?
All right. Most impressive debut. See, the expectations were huge with Edwards-Helaire. So, yes, he was terrific. He didn't get in from the goal line a couple times, which would have been nice if he would have plunged in from there. So
you know what that's like. You know what that's like.
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to I'm not going to include him there. I'm going to move him down the list. I thought Joe Burrow was great. The offensive line was so bad, and he still had his team 4 yards away from winning that game, and they should have won it. I mean, for A.J. Green to push off and then to miss the field goal. I'm going to marry Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be sensational.
I would marry them.
I will cuddle Chase Young, who is going to be terrific and was terrific in week one. And solely because the expectations are so high and he goes to I think the best offense in the NFL. That's kind of what I expect from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I'm going to trash that. He's terrific. He will be. But I'm going to trash it.
All right. I am going to marry Chase Young and his performance and his debut against the Eagles. I mean, that defensive line dominated the Eagles' offensive line. And I know the Eagles' O-line was a little bit shorthanded, but it doesn't matter. I mean, those guys went out there, and they got 13 hits on the quarterback. And Chase Young was a big part of disrupting everything, messing up all of the plays. So I'm going to marry that debut. I'm going to cuddle the Edwards-Helaire debut.
Bombs and
even though he's clearly on the best team of the three, I just think in terms of his performance and seeing how Andy Reid plans on using him, you could be talking about somebody that could lead the league in yards from scrimmage. That's how impressive his debut was. So I'm going to cuddle right up next to that, and I'm going to trash Joey B's debut because guess what? He didn't win. Not his fault. Garbage. Put it on the kicker, but he didn't win. So that's why I can't include him with the other two.
It was my kicking calf. No, it was my plant calf. I don't know which calf it was.
By the way, did you see he's fine, miraculously?
Yeah.
He's totally fine and will be kicking this weekend.
Yeah, but he screwed up. He actually, I mean, he made it up, so he said the wrong calf. Which one was it? Initially, it was the one calf, and then after the game, it was the other calf.
Right. I give him credit, though. Like, that was an immediate something is horribly wrong.
Yeah, he had an injury happen. He had a bruised ego. That's what happened.
Immediate had that reaction.
The second that ball hit his foot, he knew he missed it.
Yeah, the second.
Oh, all right, here we
my
go.
My arm.
No, it's broken. Christopher, let's head into week two here. We got week two. It starts tonight. The gotta have it game. I'm not saying must win because it's only week two, but you got to have a win this week. I'm going to give you Cleveland at home versus Cincinnati, Tampa at home versus Carolina, or Dallas at home versus Atlanta. Gotta have it.
Gotta have it. Okay, I'm going to start with marrying the Cleveland Browns.
If it was socially,
I mean, the expectations were that they would compete for a playoff spot. If they don't win this game against the Bengals, I mean, you could be talking about them blowing the whole thing up in Cleveland in terms of the Baker Mayfield experiment. So I'm going to say that is the one that you got to marry. especially when you consider the competition too, right? It's the Cincinnati Bengals. They had the first overall pick a year ago, and they've got a rookie quarterback. Like, you should be able to take care of your business. The one that I am going to cuddle up to is Dallas. And I'm going to cuddle up to Dallas just from the standpoint of new head coach, same questions. When is this team going to play up to their potential? We just haven't seen it yet. They seem like they have an all-star roster, nothing but Pro Bowlers up and down the line. But yet somehow, some way, they can't find a way to consistently put it all together. So I'm going to say that's a gotta-have-it kind of game. And I'm going to trash Tampa just from the standpoint of Tom Brady is a veteran, man. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. They've got time to figure it out. And you knew learning a new system, learning new personnel, this was going to be a bit of a learning curve. So if they lose this game, I don't necessarily look at it as the end of the season for them.
Look at this garbage.
All right, I was going to agree with you, Chris, because I loved your analysis of Cleveland, and it's a huge game, and you have to win it. But here's the difference. I don't think anybody really expects Cleveland to do a lot this year. Yeah, maybe they'll get to 500, but very few expect them to be a postseason team. So what seemed to me like, and I loved the analysis, what seemed to me like when you were saying, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go Cleveland also. I was like, wait a minute. I'm not. Because the expectation with Cleveland is not the same as it is with these other two teams. So I'm going to marry Dallas. Dallas better win this game.
I would marry them.
All right, they should have won game one. Now they're home. They're playing Atlanta. The expectation, and everyone has said it, is they at a minimum better go to the NFC Championship game. If they don't win this game, that would be a horrendous start for this football team. So Dallas is my marry. Tampa, the same. Tampa, the expectation was they're going to, you know, maybe go to the Super Bowl and be the first team to play in their home stadium. They need to win this game desperately. And against, I think they were Carolina this week.
Carolina.
You're Tampa. You have to win and wind up 1-1. So I will cuddle Tampa.
Bombs and
I agree that it would be an embarrassment if Cleveland doesn't win. But again, long term, they're still Cleveland. So I will trash the Browns.
Look at this garbage.
All right, we got time for one more. I got one last one. You guys got time for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's overreact a little bit after what we saw in week one. I think AFC is pretty self-explanatory. We all agree it's Kansas City, Baltimore, and then what do you think? Who do you think the third best team in the AFC is right now?
I think Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that, I mean, you say the AFC is loaded. I would disagree. I think the NFC is more loaded. So let's go overreact in the NFC. After what you saw in week one, headed into week two, the best team in the NFC is Seattle, Green Bay, or New Orleans?
All right. I'm going to say New Orleans. I marry them.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I do not love the quarterback. I think he has real flaws at this point of his career. But despite that, they're still so talented. Their defense is good. I mean, they have an elite running back. They have an elite receiver. He might miss time, and I don't think there's a... I mean, Sanders will step in. Taysom Hill finds a way. They're well coached. There's not a lot of deficiencies with New Orleans. So after 1 week, I will stand by it. New Orleans is the best team. And now I struggle. You know, he never gets the credit that he deserves. He's never even gotten an MVP vote. I'm going to say Seattle will be my cuddle here. They're terrific.
Bombs
they really
and
are.
And seeds.
You know, they always find a way. They always are in the postseason. He's always an upper echelon quarterback. So I will cuddle Seattle. And I like Green Bay. I love what Rodgers did. I think that they're a playoff caliber team. But as far as best team in the NFC, I'm not there yet. I will trash the Packers.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, I am going to marry Seattle.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I am, man. I'm all in on this team. I picked them to win the division before the season even started. I think the move to get Jamal Adams is only going to make that team that much better. Defensively, now they have a playmaker beside Bobby Wagner. So I really like what Seattle is doing and going on the road and getting that win against a desperate Falcons team. And I say desperate because of the coach's situation. I like Seattle. I think they are that team in the NFC. I'm going to cuddle Green Bay.
Bombs
and here's
and
why. I thought Green Bay would take a step back, seeing what they did this offseason, adding Jordan Love and not really getting Aaron Rodgers a true playmaker with their early draft capital. I just thought that this team would regress. That 13-3 that they had last year didn't feel like it was a real 13-3. But, I mean, the way that they dismantled the Minnesota Vikings, a team that people were saying was a dark horse candidate to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, that was impressive. So I'm going to cuddle up to them And I'm going to trash New Orleans. And the main reason I'm doing that is because I don't believe in the quarterback, and he didn't show me anything on Sunday to make me feel otherwise.
All right, there you go, boys. That is a Thursday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
Beautiful, wonderful edition of CMT, an extended version. Like we just kind of touched the tip of the iceberg on Tuesday, and today we were stretched out. We gave it the full performance. All right, the Islanders are in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals, and MSG Plus has complete live coverage before every game. Tonight, 7:30, after every game as well. 7:30, get ready for Game 6 against the Lightning with the team that's been with you all season long as Shannon, Butch, and AJ preview the matchup on Islanders game night. Then immediately after Game 6, tune back to MSG Plus for complete coverage, including in-depth analysis and player interviews. You got to be beside yourself for this Game 6 tonight. I mean, you have another full night of sports, right? You got the Islanders, Game 6, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN at 7:30. You have full night of baseball, and you have football as well. And for you, you got golf.
Yeah, I got golf too. And yeah, I mean, you got golf, hockey, football, basketball, baseball. I mean, you name it. You got everything.
You name it, we got it. Now streaming Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. Also, we want to remind you can listen to us anywhere you go. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Game 6. 7:30 right here on 98.7 Islanders and Lightning. Is this it, Rick? Or do we see a Game 7 this weekend?
I want to believe we're going to see a Game 7. I have to know whether or not Braden Point is playing tonight.
I would imagine he is.
I figure, I mean, you take a 3-1 lead, he's dealing with an injury. You want to manage the injury. If you can win without him in Game 5, great. You don't want to go to a Game 7. It's the last thing you want to do is go to a Game 7.
If I offered you right now, overtime, would you take it?
I would take it.
You would take it.
I mean, that's how close these games are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you play the way the Islanders play, you give yourself a chance to win. It's going to be a close game. I mean, especially going up against the goalie you're going up against. So you got to continue to do the same things. Limit the mistakes. If you get opportunities in the power play, at least generate momentum on the power play. They happen to score a power play goal in the last game. Get traffic, pucks to the net. Be smart at your blue lines. And that's all you can do. That's all I ask is give yourself a chance to win this game.
This is a huge game tonight at 7:30. All right, do either of you guys want Cleveland or Cincinnati for our picks tonight?
No, I'm set.
I'm not taking it either.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not either. I usually like Thursday. By the way, Dave, I got some news for you with your goalie, Henrik Lundqvist, if you're interested.
Okay, go ahead.
This was Libor Hájek doing a Czech interview. He said it was very sad. After the last match with Carolina, he said goodbye, saying it was his last match. It means game. He said he didn't know what would happen to him if the Rangers bought him out or went somewhere else. It was hard for him. He's a great fighter, the best hockey player in terms of approach, training, and humanity that I ever met. I even bought the same jeans he had to look like him.
I think, you know, hearing it kind of hammers home the point, but I think we all knew that, right? That it was the end for Hank here with the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all realize it's right. It's tough because he's been so good for you guys.
He's been great. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.